Good morning. As we continue our green and growing season after Pentecost, this time when we listen in the Gospels to Jesus teaching us how to follow, teaching us how to love, teaching us to be forgiven and free, like we were just singing about. It is good for us to be together. I want to make sure I say thank you to Jeff and everyone who was helping out last week as we were traveling. Vacation Bible School is coming soon here to St. John's. It will be Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday evenings, July 12, 13, and 14. We will begin at 6 p.m. with a light meal followed by a Vacation Bible School for the children on the theme of the fruits of the Spirit. Join us with any children who are in your lives as we meet to allow the love of God to be spoken and lived for all of us. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, July 12, 13, and 14. This coming Sunday, July 3rd, next Sunday, we have but one service on Sunday morning. We have a 9:30 worship service next Sunday as we celebrate Independence Day weekend and sing together and worship together and be together as God's people. Remember that next Sunday, one worship service, 9:30. Nobody gets what they usually like, and so everyone's usually angry with me, so that's okay. All right, join us next Sunday for Independence Day worship. You didn't gather this morning to listen to me give announcements. We gathered this morning to be in worship, to add our voices to those of God's people around the world in thanks and praise and worship. So let us then continue our worship as we join together in singing our gathering song. The song is, I Will Follow. Let us rise and sing together.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Sovereign God, ruler of all hearts, you call us to obey you, and you favor us with true freedom. Keep us faithful to the ways of your Son, that leaving behind all that hinders us, we may steadfastly follow your paths through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
The first lesson is from 1 Kings chapter 19. Then the Lord said to Elijah, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place." So he set out from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, who was plowing. There were 12 yoke of oxen ahead of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle over him. He left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, "Let me kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow you." Then Elijah said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" He returned from following him, took the yoke of oxen, and slaughtered them, using the equipment from the oxen. He boiled their flesh and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out and followed Elijah and became his servant. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson is from Galatians chapter 5. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke in the 9th chapter. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. That's a hard gospel. And I was wrestling with that this week, and the Holy Spirit came tap dancing on my head, And so I have a story for you instead. Charlie was a one of a kind kind of guy. When you saw him, you knew exactly who you were seeing as he was walking down the street, and you knew that there were very few people in the world like him anymore. You always wished there were more of them. You could always recognize him because he was always walking around in his Dickies bibles, whether they were the denim ones or the engineer ones. Except on Sunday morning, when Charlie always wore a shirt and a tie to church, no matter how uncomfortable he looked in them. Charlie had lived his entire life in town. He had graduated from high school, played football and baseball. He had done all of those kinds of things. He'd always helped around the house and the farm, but he had actually started working the farm with his dad when he graduated from high school, and he just kept right on. When Dad retired, Charlie just kept right on. Charlie's wife and three daughters and now their husbands, they all help as they can. But Charlie loved the work, and he was good at it, and he was prosperous. Yes, there were lean years for Charlie like every other farmer, and some years were okay, and some years were downright all right. God had been good to Charlie, and Charlie always loved to work hard. Charlie and his family were actually really doing okay. In fact, if Charlie had been so disposed, he could have shown up a lot of people who thought they were important because of how much money they made. But Charlie never wanted to do that. He could have had a bigger house or more expensive clothes or a fancier car. Wasn't his style. Charlie was generous at church, and he loved to help people. Now, sometimes that was with a check, but more often than not, it was with his sweat and a smile. If he wrote the check, he never wanted anyone to know that he had done that, and he preferred to work with his hands. He wanted to get his hands dirty, and he wanted to help whoever that he could. But the one thing that everyone knew about Charlie is that he called everyone neighbor. If you saw Charlie on the street, he would greet you with a, "Hello today, neighbor." He did that for everyone, even his mom and dad and his wife and girls, everyone. "Hello today, neighbor." Now, once you said hi back, he would call you by name if he knew it. He would ask how you were, how the family was, ask if you had any need for his help at all kinds of other conversational stuff. But when all of that was over, Charlie always said, "Have a fine day, neighbor." Now, if you ask Charlie why he did that, he would say something like this. He would say that it's very important for all of us to love our neighbors. And I want to remember that everyone, all of you, all of the people I see are my neighbors. Some people wonder why he does the same thing to his family, and he tries to tell them that I think Jesus taught us that we should love everyone. And so I try to love everyone as much as my family, rather than try to figure out how to love someone less. That does kind of make sense, but most people just shake their heads. But everyone still loves to bump into neighbor Charlie when they come into town, because he makes everyone feel special and important. Now, a few years back, on a Thursday afternoon, just after school had let out, tragedy struck neighbor Charlie. Ernie Swanson's boy Guy was driving home, and he turned to look on his back seat for something that had fallen, and Guy hit Charlie's mom and dad as they were driving to the A&P for groceries. Mom and dad died there on the spot, but Guy lived. In fact, he wasn't even scratched. Now, the ultimate irony is that Guy was looking forward that summer to working with Charlie on his farm, and he knew and he loved Charlie's parents like they were his own grandparents. But talk began to fly around the town. "Charlie's going to be some kind of mad now," or "I wouldn't want to be Guy right now," or "I bet he never calls Guy neighbor again." The truth is, Charlie was mostly sad. He was sad that he didn't get a chance to say goodbye to his mom and dad. He was sad that they were gone, and he knew that he would miss them terribly. But he was also, and this may sound weird, a little glad, because now mom and dad never had to fret about nursing homes or Alzheimer's or having one of them die and the other survive. Charlie was glad for all of the things his parents had taught him. He was glad for the fact that he had been able to know them for as long as he had. Charlie was really glad that his parents knew God and God's love for them. And Charlie knew that this is not the end or the final word. Charlie was sad, but he also had hope. And then something really amazing happened at the calling hours for Charlie's parents. Guy came to the calling hours. Now, there were lots of people there, and most of them were in the main room. So the spot by the guest book was clear of most people. So Guy came and signed the book without anyone really knowing that he was there. But when he walked into that main room, everyone noticed. All conversations stopped. You could hear a pin drop. Charlie looked up and saw Guy. Now, many people there wondered if there was going to be yelling and screaming. Some were worried about punches being thrown. What no one expected was that Charlie, looking at Guy, and he said, "Hello today, neighbor." And Guy replied, "Hello, Charlie." Charlie then opened up his arms and says, "Why don't you come here?" And Guy rushed into those arms for a bear hug that looked like it was going to crush him with love. Now, there were all kinds of whispers around the room. How could he do that? What's going on? And so Charlie spoke up. He said, "I couldn't do anything less now, could I? Guy loved my mom and dad as much or more than anyone here. And he has every right to be here to begin his goodbyes and his grieving. Don't you remember the story? The disciples had wanted to rain fire on a village that had rejected Jesus, but Jesus wouldn't let them do that, would they, Pastor?" "Nope." "How could I do anything to hurt Guy, knowing how much he is hurting already? He's hurting like I am. Guy is here because he loved my mom and dad." Someone in the back of the room shouted out, he said, "But he killed your mom and dad." Charlie said, "No, that was an accident. And no one can plan for those, and no one means for them to happen. No. Besides, I'm more into growing fruits." Someone startled said, "Charlie, you raise corn, beans, and wheat, not fruit, don't you?" Charlie said, "Fruits of the Spirit, I mean. You know, love, joy, patience, kindness, peace, and all those other fruits that we hear about in the Bible. Aren't we all supposed to try and bear those fruits and live those fruits and all of that? I know I struggle with that every day." But turning to Guy, Charlie said, "I hope that you'll come and sit with me and my family at the funeral tomorrow." Guy mumbled, "But I didn't really plan on coming. I didn't think it would be proper." Charlie said, "We're going to be celebrating in church tomorrow, and you look like you could use a celebration. We're going to celebrate God's love. We're going to celebrate how mom and dad lived that love, and we're going to try to remember what it is that we can do to keep that love and mom and dad's memory fresh for us. Will you come?" Guy started a half a smile, and he said, "Yes." "You're still going to work with me on the farm this summer, right?" Charlie asked. "Yes, sir," Guy said, and that smile got a little bit brighter and a little bit bigger. Charlie and Guy hugged again. Charlie looked him in the eye, and he said, "Have a fine day, neighbor." Guy answered, "You too, neighbor." And then they both laughed as they winked at each other at exactly the same time. The funeral for Charlie's parents is still talked about to this day in town. The fun was definitely in funeral that day. And everyone marveled as Charlie and Guy worked all that summer and the next two before Guy went off to college to take a degree in agriculture science. There were times when the two of them would catch each other thinking about what happened that spring, but that would always end with a wink and a "have a fine day, neighbor." And that's what they did. Charlie's story shows me a lot of amazing truths. First and foremost is that idea that neighbor and family, that Jesus encourages us to love all alike. It's not that Jesus ever tells us to love our family less. Jesus wants us to love our neighbors, the strangers, even our enemies more. Another thing that this teaches us or shows us is that vengeance, raining down fire, is never the way Jesus uses power, ever. Jesus is not someone who teaches us to strike back ever. And that following Jesus is important for all of us all the time. That the fruits of the Spirit are worth using and striving toward and sharing with other people and living in our lives. And that serving and loving your neighbor is always worth it. And it can be fun to boot. You see, as we live our lives as followers of Jesus, we are family and we are neighbors and we are loved and freed by God. We are freed for the purpose of helping one another. Our freedom is not a freedom for us to be autonomous individuals. Neither is our freedom licensed to do whatever it is that we want. We are freed from our sinful, selfish selves. We are freed from our sin and our guilt and our mistaken need to try to contribute to our own salvation. We are free to be utterly dependent on God. We are free to love our neighbors in many and various ways. We are free to discover new and appropriate ways to follow Jesus into this world. We are free to be dependent on one another. This is the freedom for which we have been set free. Think about it. There's an amazing truth for us today. Life is good. God's love is amazing, and all God asks is for us to share. So may God bless us in all of the things that we do, and I hope you have a fine day, neighbor. Amen. Please rise. In celebration and remembrance of our baptisms, let us confess together our faith using the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. United in Christ and guided by the Spirit, we pray for the Church, the creation, and all in need. God of faithfulness, set the face of your Church family on you. Rooted in your self-giving love, may the Church find freedom in loving neighbors. Lord, in your mercy. God of gentleness, strengthen the earth's ability to heal. Where there are dangerous storms, bring calm. Where there are destructive fires, bring rain. Protect homes, habitats, and livelihoods threatened by climate disasters. Lord, in your mercy. God of peace, guide all who govern that they place the good of their citizens above self-promotion. Anoint leaders of nations with your spirit of neighborly love. Protect refugees and all who live under tyranny or conflict. Lord, in your mercy. God of peace and justice, we pray for the people of Ukraine today. We pray for peace and the laying down of weapons. We pray for all those who fear tomorrow, that your spirit of comfort would draw near to them. We pray for those with power over war and peace, for wisdom, discernment, and compassion to guide their decisions. Above all, we pray for all your precious children at risk and in fear, that you would hold and protect them. Lord, in your mercy. God of kindness, reveal your healing presence to all who are sick or dying. Uphold those who grieve. Support the needs of any who are unemployed, hungry, or have nowhere to lay their heads. Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate God, we pray for those who need your healing presence. Bless all who suffer illness and disease, who struggle with injury and accident. We pray especially for Jack, Carol, Fran, Sharon, and Tom. May the healing presence of Christ rest upon them and all. Lord, in your mercy. God of love, attend those struggling with addiction, depression, or uncontrolled anger. Provide support systems and loving companions as they work toward health, that they may rest in hope and know the fullness of joy in your presence. Lord, in your mercy. God of joy, we give thanks for all who have died and now celebrate the inheritance of life in you. Keep their examples of faithfulness always before us, that we trust your promises in life and death, And Lord, we ask for you to be with the family and the friends of Steve Boyer and the family and friends of Stan Groth in their grief. Lord, in your mercy, God of every time and place, in Jesus' name and filled with your Holy Spirit, we entrust these spoken prayers and all those in our hearts into your holy keeping. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord grant that we see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before I dismiss you all, I've been handed another note today, and that note is actually asking for more prayers. Please keep Cheryl and Dave Shoemaker in your prayers. Cheryl's father, who has been struggling with cancer, passed away yesterday morning. And so please keep Bob's family, his friends, and especially Dave and Cheryl in your prayers as they begin their process of grief. In spite of all of that sad news, I still hope that your week is filled with blessing as you go into the world with hope.
May God bless our mission.
That's what we do.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
For us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us,